Hello there, and welcome to Woman of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ahn, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you. Hello and welcome to this episode of Woman of Grit podcast. Today's episode is a little different because I was out in the field when I did this interview. I recently traveled to Cameroon, my birth country, to visit with relatives and take care of my mom's affairs. And I had the opportunity to meet with and speak to Alice Martin-Zahiru about mentorship, the benefits of mentoring, and the benefits also of being a mentee. So who is Alice Martin-Zahiru? She's an international consultant who retired from the World Food Program, WFP, in 2015. Alice started her career with WFP in Cameroon and went on to hold various positions in countries such as Chad, Burkina Faso, The Gambia, Mali, and Uganda, rising up to the position of country representative. She is currently a senior advisor for Africa at the Global Child Nutrition Foundation and spends her time volunteering in her community, coaching and mentoring former colleagues and friends, and caring for the elderly. Alice was born in the seaside town of Victoria in Cameroon and holds a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science degree from Howard University in Washington, D.C. in the United States. Let's dive into my conversation with Alice Martin-Zahiru.
What are your thoughts about mentorship? How did mentorship benefit you as a woman, and how can it benefit other women?
Thank you, Dr. Ahn. I have been the beneficiary or subject of many mentors throughout my life. From childhood, I had some great women around me who just made it their responsibility to make sure I understood what life was all about, how to move along, how to obtain what was good for my future, for myself, for my personal well-being, and how to give back to others. So with that background, I managed to navigate through all challenges and opportunities throughout my educational journey and into my career as a female professional. There were rough edges to brush over, and I think sometimes in life we have to go through difficult moments to grow, to become stronger and more determined to get along in life.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's through challenges that you learn more and you're able to give back some of those experiences to others who may be going, maybe coming through such difficult times that you went through earlier.
Absolutely.
So I learned to seek support whenever it was needed. You know, you always look up to somebody. You admire, you have models you look at and you wish you could be like them. And it's always good to reach out to people. Don't keep yourself behind and just shy away from opportunities.
Right.
Reach out. If you don't grab it where you think you can have it, not grabbing for the sake of grabbing, but grabbing for the sake of learning and being able to use that information or to improve on yourself and those around you. So I was able to learn a lot from work. Even while as a student, I did some jobs. I had female colleagues who held my hand and showed me how to get along. I had male colleagues also, friends who believed in me, and they were able to let me know that at least you can go through this door and it will be opened and you can get a lot out of it. So I use those earlier experiences in my work life. And as I grew up in my career and became a manager, a director, and managed large or small teams around the world, if I can say, but mostly in Africa, it was quite easy because I was not just stepping into a position or a world that I did not understand. And so mentoring for me is really, really key to success. Before you become a mentor, it's good to have been a mentee, because that's where you feel humbled to gain experiences from those who are above you and who have succeeded. And then it's easier for you to share those experiences and also help others to become who you are or where you got to. And throughout my career, I was country director or representative in 4 or 5 countries, large operations or middle size. And I worked with very, very intelligent young women. And I was so happy that they looked up to me as someone they could learn from and try to be like. I had some strong habits that I told them, please don't do this, that's me. Like being forceful or making sure people worked, give their best. And when you see somebody who can give the best of themselves and they are not, you challenge them in a decent way so they don't feel the pressure of succeeding. Because to succeed, you have to work hard. And working hard doesn't mean depriving yourself of your freedom, of your weaknesses, of not overcoming your weaknesses, but challenging yourself to perform well. And performing well doesn't always mean being the best. It's just being able to be part of a success story. And for me, that was something I did throughout my career and which I'm still doing at retirement. I am part of a team coaching incoming directors and young future leaders with whom we tell stories. The mentoring is not doing your job, helping you do your job. It's helping you look at different ways of succeeding. And so it's a very interesting process, because you not only do you share, but you receive. You learn a lot from those you think you're coaching or mentoring. They have so much to share, and you say, wow, I never went through that experience, or I didn't look at it that way. While they're asking you, they're answering their own questions.
Right.
And that's the nice thing about it, is you let them see different avenues of achieving what they're aiming at.
So that almost sounds like coaching.
Yeah,
you know, because in coaching, you kind of help them through the thought process, but yes, they arrive at the answer themselves. Yes. You don't give them the answer.
You don't. I try not to give them the answer. Mm-hmm. I open opportunities. I give them different ways of looking at the problem.
Right.
And you find what is most suitable for you, because each challenge is different from the others. What I experienced in one country, I could not do it in another
country.
Yeah,
right.
Because people are different, context is always different, and the end result is usually different. What would work in context A might not work in B, and so you try not to cut and paste.
Right. I'm hearing flexibility.
Yes, being flexible.
Right.
Being open-minded,
right,
and having a keen ear to listen to things around you, people around you. Many leaders or senior managers don't listen, and when you don't listen to them, even the most junior person in your team, you lose a lot. I felt all the time while I was on duty that the person who drove the car I sat in was as important as my head of program, who had all the knowledge to inform me on what I'm doing in the field.
You know, and I see how that can be. You know, the person who you have a huge, for example, you have a big meeting somewhere. Mm-hmm. The person driving you there could tell you, hey, let's not go this way this morning. Mm-hmm. Something is going on there.
Yeah.
Let's take this other road I know.
Which will get us faster.
Right, which will get us there fast. in time to meet your appointment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. That is important.
And one really nice experience I've always kept and appreciated. I worked once in a location where my driver was my main companion. I mean, we drove to places. I didn't understand the language in that community, and he became my translator.
Okay.
We arrive, usually a driver would sit in the car and wait. I would say, come along. And he was so happy because it was raising his status.
Right.
He wasn't just driving a car.
Absolutely.
As we always say, just driving. He was also part of a team. And he would translate for me, or watch out for those that people. They might ask you for things that you don't have to say yes or no.
Okay.
And so it's the value in people which sometimes we neglect and we don't benefit from.
Right.
Their own personal experiences.
Right.
Or the knowledge that they can translate to you.
I like that you said you can learn from even the most junior person, because sometimes when you have risen up to a certain level, it's like you're breathing, we talk about rare air, rarefied air, because you're mm-hmm. so high up there. You may not really know and understand what is going on
below.
Several levels below you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going on several levels below you is just as important, because if that foundation
isn't solid. Yeah.
Then
when you drop, you go up.
Exactly,
you have to come down, and
exactly.
you need a base to fall back
to fall back on. Absolutely,
and that base is what sustains you throughout life.
Because right,
those friends or people you supported down there to grow, they will be later the leaders who will look up to you and say, "I learned from that person, or that person was kind to me, or led me through some difficult times." And so the mentoring for me is, it's a bit of coaching, but it's more helping somebody to grow.
Right.
You want to, you're a junior staff today, and you want to reach a position where you feel you're capable of getting there, but you don't know what steps to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you help that person to think. And I always say, don't take my ideas or my thoughts. I give bad advice sometimes just to challenge you. And when you have to think it through and say, between this thought and that thought, which is good for me.
Right.
So you have a basket of
mm-hmm.
choices to make.
Absolutely.
With choices to choose from.
Right.
And so people are not blocked. And when they don't succeed, they shouldn't say, "Oh, you advised me wrongly. You advised me wrongly, and I didn't get any much from your mentoring." So I have had mentors who have come back and said, "Thank you."
Right.
You made me get to this point. I don't even remember most of the time, because you just do it naturally.
Uh-huh.
And when somebody recently came back to me and said, "Oh, I'm applying for this new position." And I said, "Oh." And he said, "I'm asking you because the last time I got a position, you encouraged me to do it."
Right.
And I said, "I don't recall." And he narrated the steps we took to that. So you let people be themselves,
right?
And you guide them through whatever period they want. They need your support or assistance.
Absolutely.
And to me, there's always a time to cut off. When you mentor, you should pull back after a while and
uh-huh.
just leave them to take off.
Right.
And if they come back with a success story,
uh-huh.
you say, "Wow, I'm glad I was part of it."
Right.
If they don't come back, but you know they're doing well, that is also part of your success.
Right.
Because I think sometimes we push too much. We want to be at the limelight of other people's glory.
Glory, right.
Yeah. And we overshadow them. So
right.
One thing I also learned at while working to mentor, I would always pull back and ask the junior staff or my deputy or somebody else, "You do this.
Right.
You go to give the talk. You go and present on behalf of the office or the organization." And they felt proud and happy that, "Wow, I'm doing a job that others didn't allow me to do."
Right. So it's almost like, the way I think of it is, you know, you have training wheels, and then you let go of the training wheels and just let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them shine,
yeah.
You know.
That's
I think that is a testament also to the people you develop,
mm-hmm.
you help develop, that you have confidence
mm-hmm.
that they have the skills. Yeah. And I think that is really important because sometimes you know somebody has the ability, is capable, mm-hmm. but that person doubts themselves. Mm-hmm. And without allowing them to mm-hmm. actually do it, mm-hmm. they may never get that
confidence. And you know, sometimes they will ask, are you sure you really want to do it?
Yes.
You can do it for
yes,
us. And they, when you're presenting something, you have an audience.
Right.
It's always good to know there's somebody out there who's making eye contact.
Right.
Or just urging you on.
Right. Somebody they can between, yes, yeah. in the audience. Yes. yes.
Just
absolutely.
Make sure that special person is
right.
There. And I always try to be that special person.
Right.
Quietly the background, but you feel confident knowing that it's like a mother and a son or
right.
daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on stage and he knows mommy is there
right.
watching me and cheering me on.
Absolutely.
And so adults, we need that type of environment too,
mm-hmm.
where we don't just abandon and say, oh, you're grown up, go do it yourself.
It right.
To be sure that
right.
I have somebody there who is keeping an eye
absolutely.
On me.
And I think yeah. even, you know, usually when they talk about presenting mm-hmm. or giving a presentation, mm-hmm. they say pick one person in the audience
yeah.
that you can focus on, like you're talking to a particular person. Mm-hmm. Who is making eye contact with mm-hmm. you. And for me, I think it's even better that you have your mentor, if mm-hmm. you see your mentor in the mm-hmm. audience, and sometimes all it takes is a shake of the head.
Head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, and that gives them that confidence mm-hmm. To continue.
I had this character that nobody could tell whether I was timid or just quiet.
Right.
I wasn't the kind who would, you know, reach out and scream or do things like, somebody called me a quiet force later in life. Because things got done.
Right.
I didn't even know where.
You didn't have to raise your
I
voice.
Yeah, I just.
Absolutely.
And I usually didn't do myself. In while working, I had people do things.
Right.
Like my staff, I delegated a lot.
Absolutely.
And I made sure to delegate you to write a paper or something. I gave you all the information or tools you needed.
But I think that takes a level of
self-confidence.
Yes. In your ability.
And.
But then also allowing other people, because
yeah,
there's some develop. People, there's some managers who literally just hold everything to themselves
yeah.
and wanting to
all
do it
credit,
all so
yeah.
they can get all the credit for yeah. it.
Which is not a good thing.
Which is not a good thing.
If you let people learn to become what you expect them to be, or you have to hold their hands for a while.
Right. Absolutely.
And while you're doing that, you give them what they need. You don't say, go and prepare a document, 20 pages, and you don't explain exactly
what it is. So,
and
then, so you're helping them succeed.
Yeah.
Because there's some people who just literally set people up for failure.
Yeah.
You set them up for mm-hmm. success mm-hmm. by giving them the tools, mm-hmm. giving them direction,
yes,
telling them what you want. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times, sometimes I am guilty of that myself. Mm-hmm. I will give somebody a task, but it's like I'm expecting them to read my mind. You know, they can't read your mind.
Yeah,
they're not mind readers.
And be available. Don't
yes.
on a Friday afternoon you ask somebody to do something and say you want it on your desk on Monday.
Right.
You know, it's weekend. They have
yes.
family. They have other things to do. And then you're not available if they need you to be clear on certain aspects of the task. So it's leading them to failure, and you come back and you're shouting and you're calling them on entities they don't have any brains in their
right,
head.
Right, right.
Those are the most important people
yeah.
who will later produce, give you good
yeah. results. You set them up for failure. I mean,
yeah.
if you dump something on somebody's desk mm-hmm. late on Friday,
mm-hmm.
I think it says a couple of things about
yeah.
you. In other words, you don't think that they also deserve
that's
some time off,
yeah.
So
which you're taking,
right?
Yeah.
Which you are taking, and for me, you especially if you knew you wanted them to do that,
mm-hmm.
it's last minute. You just dump it on their desk and then you walk out. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes leaders have to really be considerate because mm-hmm. that showing your staff a level of concern, then. Also makes them people who are going to work for you.
Yeah.
Help them out. That's
yeah.
it. Sometimes you can't help it. It's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stick around and help them out.
Get it done.
Because they have a family too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And absolutely. Explain why you're
exactly.
keeping them
exactly
on a day when
yeah.
they should be off.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Have a way of them compensating for that time lost.
And when they see you yeah. are
also on it.
Right.
Yes, they stick. Huh?
Yes, exactly.
You have to even beg them sometimes
yes.
to leave and they say,
yeah.
no, we have to finish.
No,
we
let's finish this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's such practices with between leaders and their subordinates is the way forward. And I see it more so with the younger generation. Who are very speedy, they're very fast. How did you do it? Oh, I went into the internet. It's okay. There are other ways of getting information.
Right.
Talking to people, doing a bit of reading, researching, and you'll get a lot more. And when you coach them that way, or when you mentor them in that manner, they say, oh, okay, if that's how you want it, I'll do it. And they do it, and they start learning that, oh, it's also good to do it this way. And just give them different avenues of getting to the result.
The result, right.
Just going into internet and you get the information and you cut and paste does not teach them
a lot. You can't get institutional knowledge from the internet.
You don't.
You can't. So you have to talk to humans.
Humans. But
yeah.
I've seen it
yeah.
with some... They're smart, very smart. They do things in a very fast way. And you are old-fashioned. And they look at you and say, oh, she's not moving fast enough for
us. Right, for us, yes.
But you pull them back and
yeah.
say, hey, sit down. Let's talk, and you try to impact on them some experiences. And when they listen to experiences that you've gone through, good and bad, they usually say, wow, then I can learn a lot more than just going on my own solo and trying to dig out information. And so the people I mentor these days, when I ask them, why did you select me? They said, because we read through your profile, we went on LinkedIn, or we received your CV, and we saw how you grew in the system.
Right, right.
And we just admire the fact that we're able to move from a program officer into a senior director.
Senior director.
And we want to learn how you got there, how you did it. And I do, most of the people who ask me such questions are women.
Okay.
Yeah. They're women, and my wish is to mentor as many women.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And before I retired, there was some program in our organization where they paired up already country representatives with incoming. And I had to mentor, and they said, just mentor them, just be their not friends.
Like an ear.
Yeah, an ear.
Yeah.
And they would call and say, Alice, I'm dealing with this situation, staffing or partners or governments, if you were in my position,
yes.
how would you do it?
Yes.
And we talk about it and we look at different options.
Absolutely.
And then they run off and
yes.
they make the decisions for themselves on what's best for their context.
So even in retirement, you continue to mentor. And yeah. I think that is so important because yeah. you have a wealth, a depth, a breadth of knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, country director in 4 to 5 countries, you've had experiences. Because there are books that tell you, oh, manuals that tell you, do this, you do this, you do this, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life situations, you have to make some adjustments. Because people who write these things have mm-hmm. not been in every situation.
No, no, no.
And
no.
a lot of times...
It's too much theory.
Maybe they're even yeah. done mm-hmm. in environments
mm-hmm.
that... and not the environment you are working in. So you have to make some adjustments, obviously.
Yeah. And to make people believe in you, be humble enough to say, I also benefited from others. So you're not just that genius who arrived up there. You had to learn, you had to go. And I say, I worked very hard to get to where I got. You'd make them understand that you benefited from somebody else's talent or ability to coach you or to help you, mentor you. And it makes it real. So they are going through a process you had gone through before, and you're just continuing that in that aspect. And I find it even more interesting in mentoring that your mentee is very ambitious.
Right.
And when people are very ambitious, they neglect a lot of steps to achieving what they want. And you have to pull them down and say, hey, before you aim at that, try this little bullet and pull down here first. If it works, then you see your capacity to get up there.
Right.
And they now pull back and say, okay, But I want to get there. Yes, you'll get
there. Yes, you get
there.
But
there are steps to getting
steps,
there.
Absolutely.
If you skip those steps, you get up there, you'll come back.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's like skipping classes.
Mm-hmm.
And you skip certain concepts that you should have learned before you reach the end.
Right, I think of like, you know, you want to do calculus, but you haven't done arithmetic. Yeah. You haven't done algebra.
Yeah.
But you want to go to calculus.
Yes.
There's a foundation. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And that happened to me in real life. I skipped the class. I went to college. I was sent back to finish.
Yes, you know.
That class. And so there are certain concepts.
Concepts.
That's why they put you through so many years of schooling.
Yes.
Because if you don't do that complete cycle,
right,
the things you miss out. Like you say in algebra, all those things. If you don't, you get, later on you meet it. And I found it difficult because I missed certain concepts. When I got to university, I had to do logic and calculus and things, and I struggled.
I struggled. Absolutely.
In school, we had to skip certain things, and you're either in the arts or in the sciences.
Yeah.
And there are people who are in the middle. And when you get to a level where you have to choose whether you go through the science or arts, you get stuck. And you have to be careful.
So not choosing too early, not specializing too early.
And so it's the same process, not skipping positions to get to a higher level.
Absolutely.
Too early.
You want to be country director before being deputy country director, right?
You're for 35, 40, you want to be head of program.
Right.
And you're going to work with older people who are there. And they might give you a tough time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're not willing
to
learn.
So you haven't paid your dues.
Yeah.
You have not paid your dues.
They withhold information.
Right.
And you have to struggle.
Struggle,
to get it.
Absolutely.
So I've had people come to me and say, I need information from this program people or logistics, and they're withholding it. I said, well, go make friends with them. Learn from them, and they'll open up to you. And so that also helps people to become more team players.
Yes.
Because if you're not a team player, if you go solo, you might get up there by doing fantastic presentations, everybody wow, and they promote you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get up there and you don't have anybody to hold your hand up there. And you lose the confidence they had in you.
Right. Being that we're in Africa, Cameroon specifically, then from what you just said, there's an African proverb. I have to find what specific country it's from. But they say, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go far, then you go together.
Yeah, it's so important. And in workplaces, we always insist on teamwork.
Yes.
It's like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
A puzzle, there are different pieces which you have to put together to get that beautiful picture of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if each, you don't put the pieces in the right places, you won't get it right.
Absolutely.
And so you're working with a team, you have different sections in the office, and each brings on some skills that others don't have.
Yes.
And so putting those together, you're able to have a result that benefits everyone. And for me, it's the same in real life, in a home, in our different social groups and stuff. You don't want one person monopolizing all the things and dictating to others what to do, and they just follow. You need a leader. The leader must learn to follow.
So consensus building.
Yeah, yes. So I use stories in life to mentor, real life stories, experiences. And I think that makes it more easier for people to learn than reading from a book and saying, this great writer said. I refer them to certain literature to say
fundamentals.
Go look at it.
Right.
Some of those tough questions that are answered. But in real life, you have to be practical. And it also depends on how you impact that knowledge or information to them.
To them.
Make
right.
it a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it a lecture.
A lecture, right.
Yeah, where the person is there writing every word you say.
Right.
Just open dialogue where you speak, you let them speak, you listen. A mentor should listen more than the mentee.
Yeah, that's
let the mentee be the one expressing what they really need. And so mentoring, I don't have a plan. Before I mentor someone, I said, just send me some questions.
Right.
What you'd like to talk about.
Talk about.
And when they send that, then I do some research. I look for case studies or things I can share. And And people like to say, oh, so this is how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's possibly it's not me who did it, but I saw somebody else do it.
Right.
And it's the same to have gone through the hurdles.
Absolutely.
And it's usually short. Mentoring shouldn't take more than an hour per session.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would like to go on, and I said, okay, now we are no longer on the session. We're just chatting.
Chatting, yeah. Right, absolutely.
It's off record, so there I can say anything and just pick what you feel is important for you. I think in real life, we miss opportunities to be part of people's success.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at young girls, teenage girls. It's also a target group I am working on. And within the family, those who allow me. And I tell them, I have two nieces who came up to me then, university now, and said, Auntie, how did you do it?
Right.
I want to be like you. I
said,
oh, you have to work very hard.
Right.
Said, oh, I'm working hard. I said, it's not just the academic work, but also other things around you.
Right.
You're an all-round person. Mm-hmm. Sports or social activities, theater, dancing.
Absolutely.
And those things help to build up your confidence.
Your confidence.
So that when you get to a workplace, you're not just going to sit in your little desk and say, I'm doing my job.
Right.
But you're a team player.
Team player.
You're there with others and you're able to see that colleague. Well, in one office, I was their first female country representative, and there were lots of intelligent women holding senior positions, heads of units. And I said, wow, this, we have to tap on it. And I invited them to a meeting. We had snacks and wow, she's getting us together. And I said, hey, ladies, you have a force in this office. Make sure you use, don't let anybody bring you down. You have your careers. You might want to go further. You might want to just maintain your status where you are. But look at opportunities. And they asked me, how did you do it? How did you get here? And we talked about it. So we formed the Women's Guild.
Right, right.
And we would invite speakers. I would let them invite female leaders from their own country to come and speak to them.
Absolutely.
Former female ambassadors, female ministers in retirement. And they just blossomed.
Absolutely.
You've seen your own countrywoman you didn't know.
Had
Right. And so we had that type of spirit in the office. And the men got a bit jealous, but they said, it's our time.
Right.
While I'm a country rep, I will pay attention to the women. And we got that cleared up and they accepted. I said, no, men, you can also come to me.
Right.
I'll mentor
Absolutely.
You, but these women are my priority. And the women were just now. And one had said, my colleague over there, a female, she doesn't talk to me. I said, you go walk up to her and talk to her. So they opened up some who had quarrels and stuff, they just made up. And when I left, it was just so beautiful, the gathering they made for me. And I left, they sent me pictures, said, we're still continuing what
Very
we started
good.
Up.
Yes.
And I felt that impacting people in a positive way so that they're able to have memories of good things that happened in their lives and they can move on with it. So I don't know, for the younger ones, I said, some are willing, some think they can just navigate through life and get to where they are. But if I can pull you back, I do, and I say, hey, let's sit down and chat. What is your aim? What do you want to do? Oh, I want to be a doctor. Are you in the sciences? No. I said, then you can't become a doctor.
Right, you know.
If you're not good in maths and chemistry and all this. I wanted to do medicine, but I was zero in chemistry. I hated chemistry. I hated mathematics, so I just quickly switched to what I could get.
You took advantage of your strength.
Yes.
Right.
And many people don't realize that you don't want to get stuck. You force, or your parents force you, you have to be this, you have to be that. Tell them, I cannot be what you want, but this is what I want to do. And if you have that communication openly and clearly, they will open up and let you get your way.
And I think, you know, we as parents have to be like mentors for our children.
Yes, you have to.
Not imposing what we want on them.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe even living vicariously through them.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dad always wanted me to do medicine. He wanted to do medicine, but because of certain circumstances, he didn't. But the good thing is that his wishes for me also coincided with my wishes for myself. So as parents, we also really have to be careful to guide our children so that they thrive and become the best versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else, parting words? We have gotten so much information during this conversation. You talked about mentoring and how that mentoring started in your childhood. You know, you also talked about growing from difficulty. You know, I talk about you don't grow in your comfort zone. You have to be a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Your experiences in early life obviously informed some of the decisions you made. You had women around you who were mentors for you.
Very influential, successful women.
Successful, absolutely.
And you look up to them. They are
right,
models.
Exactly.
They are your models, and you want to
be like them.
Or even better, and they're there to guide you.
Guide you. And then another thing you said that I hadn't really thought about is you need to be a mentee before you become a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, you need to know, have experienced that mm-hmm. side of it mm-hmm. to make it easier for you to mentor others.
Yeah.
Also to expect the best of people.
Yeah.
As a mentor, you expect the best of the people you work with.
Mm-hmm. Accept their failures.
Exactly.
And help them to know that it's an experience.
Right. I always talk about failures when I talk to my son too. You say in life there are successes and then there are lessons.
Yes.
Because a failure is a failure mm-hmm. only if you do not learn from it. You
yes.
know, they say fail as an acronym. Mm-hmm. The F is for first, the A attempt. The I in learning. Right. First attempt in learning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, you talked about work-life balance, which is really, really important. You work hard, but then you also have a life outside of work to be the whole person.
Yeah.
One thing you also said that always being the person in front, the person getting the glory, but there is a glory in the team succeeding.
Yeah.
So
considering each member of the team as important
as right.
yourself. And getting the best out of their own personal experiences
right.
or things that they might know that you don't know about.
Right.
And once people see that openness in you, they will share.
Right.
They will give more than you expect.
Right. And then there were three things I have here as important in being a mentor. And just correct me if I got it wrong. I have here being flexible, mm-hmm. being open-minded, and most importantly, listening.
Yes.
Listen.
Yeah. A mentor should be able to listen. Give space for the mentee to express their needs.
Right.
And you step in to say, okay, let's look at it this way or that way. And let them feel a part of the discussion as much as possible. So they're taking back what they give. They bring the problem and they give you the solution.
The solution. So, sometimes you just need to talk things through.
Open things and say, I thought about it, but I wasn't sure. So
right.
There you go. You had it.
They already had the answer. Yeah. They just needed
and
to
And I'm glad we could talk about
right.
it. Let them feel good that they came to you for help. And one thing I always tell people I mentor, I walked into a bank in the country and I saw a big poster out there. And it said, understand what people need, delight them with what they don't expect. A copy.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, understand what people need, delight them with what they don't expect. So I know what you need.
Uh-huh.
But when I get back to you, I give you more than you expected.
Uh-huh.
So it means so much. I use it all the time. It means so much because sometimes we think we're just doing what people want. Let's help them by doing a bit more
mm-hmm.
so that they too can give a bit more on whatever they have to do. And some people just say, I was expecting a book. You gave me an album.
Mm-hmm.
An album that has stories and mm-hmm. things I can mm-hmm. use in different ways instead of reading what somebody wrote. And
right.
and that makes them feel a bit more relaxed around
mm-hmm.
you. And also the confidence that they talk to somebody
right.
they can respect and do. So I hope I've been helpful in sharing,
absolutely.
So mentoring is sharing, it's learning, it's listening, it's give and take.
Give and take. Yeah. Absolutely. I think this, saying it's a conversation, mm-hmm. does not do it justice. Mm-hmm. I think for the listeners out there, this has been a masterclass.
Oh boy.
This has been, absolutely, this has been a masterclass on mentorship. And I am really, really grateful that you sat with me this early morning, a few hours before
my
flight. With the birds in the background, mm-hmm. like this is Africa, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Cameroon. You can hear the birds in the background. There are the ambient noises in the background, but that is life. We're out in the field. And, you know, I board my flight in a few hours, and I am just delighted that we found this
quiet moment
with nature, in nature, to have this conversation. And I really look forward to doing it some other time. So I have been having a conversation about mentorship, a masterclass about mentorship with Alice Matin-Dahiru, the former country director of the World Food Program in Uganda and many other countries previously. Please,
now in retirement,
take a look at her webpage once on womanofgreatpodcast.com. to learn more about her, to read her bio, to see where she's been and what she's done. So thank you again for honoring my early morning invitation to talk about mentorship.
Thank you very much, and safe journey.
Thank you.
I hope we'll have more opportunities.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So that's it for today's episode of Women of Grit. Thank you for joining us, and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.